band's latest release, Breaking the Silence, comes out in the next few weeks. Can you tell us a bit more about the concept or ideas that you guys had behind this album?
Yeah, it's our fourth album, and of course, I guess right now you notice that we've doing this quite for a while. So for us, it's an album that felt very natural when recording it. We played many gigs after the third release, Tribal Force, and also started songwriting while being on tour. So of course, the whole Break the Silence album was very life inspired, and the whole songwriting process felt quite natural because we do not have to think about what we're doing. After the fourth album, now we really feel like guitars and know what we're doing.
And what do you guys plan to change in terms of sound and for this release?
Well, we don't start songwriting for a new album and make a list of things about to change. But I guess we have some more mid-tempo songs on this one. It wasn't planned, but it turns out to be that these songs work out live very well because it's easier to handle the sound than if you only have bass drums at 180 beats per minute. So I guess it's a bit more mid-tempo oriented, but apart from that, I guess who already knows Van Canto will easily recognize that this is a new album by Van Canto, and who didn't like a cappella metal at all won't be too happy with the new release as well, I guess.
And how do you guys sit down and write a song, since it's a pretty unconventional approach compared to the traditional bands?
Yeah, but on the first two albums, so the way of songwriting wasn't different than from writing a normal, regular metal album. We just wrote riffs on guitar, or have some chords on piano, or a basic hook line, and then the only thing different was arrangement. But on this album, it's the first time that there are many parts that have been directly written by singing them. So, as I said before, the translation process from writing a song, then translating it into a vocal part, and always have in mind, oh, what would a guitarist do here? This changed a little bit, and we really have ideas just by singing a riff or singing a hook, and then the composition process is much more it's more direct than if you always have to translate every part.
Oh yeah, what made you guys take so radical approach to metal when you guys were starting out?
The idea of a cappella metal, what was
yes.
What do you mean?
Yes.
It wasn't planned to turn out that way, to be honest. We just wanted to do something vocal-oriented in the beginning. It was a studio project, and it might also have been that it ended up in a regular metal band just with more lead singers or more choirs like Soundgarden or I don't know. And the idea that it really might be worth thinking about doing a pure vocal and drum album just evolved the time that we've been trying out some things in studio. So there wasn't a big master plan of doing the first metal a cappella band. It just came that way.
And how do you seen the reactions over the years of people that are not too familiar with the band and see you guys for the first time?
Yeah, when we're playing on a festival, for example, it's always the same. Of course, when we play a big festival, there are many people that don't know Van Canto at all. And of course, at the first song or at the first two songs, they're quite skeptical and what the hell is going on there on stage? There's no guitar. What are these guys doing there? Or what are these guys trying to do? To be honest, after the second, third, at latest fourth song, all hands are up, so I guess we're doing something right. But as I said before, if you do not like our approach, if you think I do not want to listen to a metal album without guitars, and I surely can understand that, as I'm a guitar player as well, then you will not ever find anything good about Van Canto. Although I think we have really, really good lead singers that would fit quite well into every melodic metal band I can think of. We don't want our people to convince that they have to like Van Canto. If they do not like, it's okay for us. But until now, it seems that with every album we release and with every gig we play, the people that like Van Canto are getting more and more. So I guess, again, we're doing something right there.
And how would you describe the struggle over the years, you know, of getting people used to the sound and generating fans?
Yeah, you call it struggle? I don't know if I would call it struggle, but... yeah, the thing is that the more a band grows, then the more people are interested in the band, and the more people are waiting for a new release, for example. So in the beginning, we just did not care, because if we did, we never found this band, because there are some haters around. If you just Google Van Canto and watch into the discussion boards and stuff, you will always find haters, because just of our approach of leaving away the guitars. And if we knew what kind of reactions we were able to produce with such a band, it might have been that we think about it. But right now that we did it, there are so many positive responses, and we when we're playing live shows, to me it seems that our fans are really into our music, not the typical fan that listens to metal bands that all sound the same, but the people that really know that we're doing something different, and people that really want bands that do something different, because they are so bored of all the 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 bands all sounding the same. So it's both sides of the story, of course. So if we are on tour, we only see our fans, and everything's great and everything's fine. But right now, in the promotion of the new album, of course, there are many reactions that you should not take personally. Otherwise, you really get pissed off someday.
And you know, what would you say is the biggest advantage of not having the guitar and all this traditional setup whenever you guys are setting up for a show?
Technically speaking, it's not that easy to have no guitars, I must be honest, because our monitoring system is quite it's quite big, because when you're a regular guitar player, you just can turn up the volume of your amplifier a little bit more, and then you can hear yourself. But we all have a decent monitor mix and an in-ear monitoring, so technically speaking, it's more difficult than a regular setup. But of course, the biggest advantage of having no guitars is that you have something to present to any promoter or to any anybody who's interested in music. You can say, hey, we have a different kind of instrumentation, because we have no instruments, and then at least the people start to listen, and they're interested in what we're doing. And what I also can say is that even if people do not like metal a cappella, if they know a little bit about music and about metal singers, they easily can say, okay, your singers are they're doing good. It's not that we can't hit the notes or something. So this it always works. It's not just a gimmick of doing something really diddly diddly, but it's also hard work, and I guess people recognize that as soon as they see us on stage.
I assume that you guys don't have to carry a bunch of heavy stuff like a traditional band.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, only the drummer, but well, there has to be someone who's carrying something, I guess.
And in terms of, you know, I mean, since you said you're also a guitar player, are there things that you feel more comfortable that you can pull off with your voice versus the guitar, or the other way around?
I've been a very dedicated rhythm guitar player, and I guess I've always been into 7-string guitars, and I really like deep tuned guitar sounds. And to be honest, it's very difficult to imitate a real fat thrash riff with only your voice. So talking about rhythm guitar, if I could choose, then I guess I will, in some day in time, I will record an album with a regular guitar, not with one canto, but just to have the thrashy riffing. But in terms of solo guitar, it's much easier for me to sing than to play, because I could never manage to play as fast as I sing solo. So that's very good for me. I'm finally the lead guitar player that I always wanted to be. And I think that it also helps if you are a guitar player, because then you know what sounds realistic, and you know perhaps which licks or which phrases a guitar player would use. So I try to adapt this when I improvise the vocal guitar solos.
And how important do you feel that the covers that you guys have made through your career have been crucial for you guys to be noticed more?
Yeah, it would be ridiculous if I said that the covers didn't have any impact on how Encanto is recognized from the public. So of course it was part of the idea to have cover songs, because we wanted people to, if they have to get used to a new sound, then we thought it's a good thing if they do not have to get used to a new song. So the first cover we did was Battery from Metallica, and we thought, okay, let's take a song that every metalhead knows, so he can follow the song structure. He knows it because he heard this song about, I don't know, 1,000 times, and then he can see what we are doing with our voices. And of course, in live shows, it's always a good thing if you have some metal classics like Fear of the Dark, because it's great for the crowd. We love the songs, the crowd loves the songs, and it's a good thing if we mix our live show with some covers. But for us, it's important to say that we see ourselves as songwriters, and that we really like writing own songs. And so our live shows, when we do a headliner tour, for example, we have about, when we play 1.5 hours, perhaps it's 20 minutes of covering, and the rest is own songs. And at least for the fans that have been on our tours so far, I can say that they really like our songs. And there are many people that do not listen to metal at all, but they just started listening to metal when they heard of Encanto the first time. And sometimes people stopping by and saying, hey, thank you for covering that, what's that song called, Fear of the Dark, I now bought an album of this Iron Maiden, it's really cool. We say, okay, at least some people get to know Iron Maiden by listening to Encanto songs. That's a good thing.
And how do you guys pick the covers for this album? You have an Alice Cooper cover, a Sabaton cover, and a Manowar cover.
Yeah, we did quite many covers on our second album, Hero. We had five covers compared to five own songs, and these have been the big metal hits. So this time we thought, okay, let's take them some songs that perhaps are not the biggest hits in metal history, because you can't cover Fear of the Dark twice, but let's pick songs that for us feel like we have written them. So take the Sabaton cover. I think the way they are putting chords, and they are writing the basic hook lines, and they are arranging their songs is quite similar to what we are doing, although the sound in the end is completely different. But when we listen to Primo Vittoria, I always had the feeling, okay, it feels like a song written by myself. The same with Bed of Nails. Of course, it would be great if I had written a song like Bed of Nails, because then I would be Desmond Child and I would have kind of $5 million. I don't know. But it's important to feel something if you cover it. And of course, if you cover a big metal hit, you feel the hit itself. But this time we wanted to feel like we are the original composers. So we have a good way of interpretation of the song.
And you know, in terms of royalty and copyright issues, how does the licensing of these cover songs work?
Well, Yeah, I only can tell for German law, but I guess German law is so complicated that it fits for the rest of the world as well. Here it's a simple thing. If you just cover a song, you only have to pay royalties to the writers, and everything's fine. But as we are not doing regular cover songs, but doing a new interpretation, we always ask the original composer or the original publishing company if they allow that we are covering it. And as soon as they allow it, it's a simple thing. We record it, and they get paid for every album that we're selling. So I guess it's a good thing for both sides, because we can have some really, really great songs to enhance our songs. And the original artist has some royalties on the records we're selling.
And have you guys ever been turned down by some company that didn't want you guys to do anything to their songs?
All people that we asked until now, they quickly agreed that we are allowed to. Of course, we did not have personal contact with Metallica and Iron Maiden, but only with their management or publishing company. So I don't know if James Hetfield or Bruce Dickinson ever listened to a Van Kanter song. I really don't know. But for all the other covers we did, we already talked to the original artists. Of course, we did some touring together with Blind Guardian and with Nightwish and Manowar, for example. They invited us to their festival because they heard of our Kings of Metal covers on the second album. And Eric Adams told us that he really likes it. I guess if he says so, he means so. So this is quite a cool thing if the original artists get in contact with us and tell us that they like what we are doing. We are very proud of this.
And have you ever been approached by some angry, drunken fan cussing at you for, according to them, destroying their favorite song?
In the internet, it happens every minute, I guess, but in real life, it doesn't happen. That's a funny thing about internet. They are all incredibly strong and angry and violent people around, but if you meet them in real life, they're quite... they're not interested in Van Kanter, I guess. We've been playing on Wacken Open Air this year, and it was really, really great because we played at 2:30 in the... most people still were asleep, but nevertheless, we had about 20,000 people in front of stage, and they all had really, really had a good time. So I guess all the people that do not like Van Kanter just stayed in their tents or had some barbecue or anything. So when playing live, it's really, really it doesn't happen at all that somebody's around just to tell us that we're a shitty band. I don't know.
And you know, I mean, you're mentioning that live setting. Is there any plans for maybe making it over to the U.S.?
Yeah, plans from our side, of course. But as always, it's a thing about getting the flights paid somehow. And we are starting a European tour now. And for us, it's been a good thing to when we come to a country for the first time. That we're playing on a festival there, because then the risk for the promoter is not too high, because he has other bands that can keep the festival up. And for us, it's cool because we meet many people that we can present our sound to. So the best thing would be to apply for any U.S. festival first, come over and play a show there, and then have a look if it's worth trying to do a tour. But as far as I know, for example, the main promoter of Frog Power Festival told our booker that as long as he's responsible for the festival, we will never play there, because he hates what we're doing, I guess. So, but this is okay. If he's honest and he tells that way, then we can handle it, and we know what it's about. So, yeah. To sum it up, I can't tell. We definitely want to come over, but it's a really, really big country, so you can't just fly over and then start thinking, okay, how do we come to the next club? This has to be planned somehow, and of course, in the end, it's all about the money to pay the flights, and then.
And you know, in general terms, I mean, you guys have, four albums in 5 years that you guys have been together as Bandcanto. What are the goals that you guys still want to achieve?
Another good thing in this band is that we never had any goals. Because we've been all been playing in regular metal bands before for 10 or 15 years and nobody ever was interested. So everything that happens to us with Bandcanto right now is bonus. So we've been able to play on Wacken 3 times. We've been to Russia, to Brazil, to Italy, and to many other countries. We can go on a European tour now. We get paid for what we're doing, recording albums and playing live. So for me, it can't get much better. Important thing for me is that as we've been all friends before founding this band, for me it's important that it stays that way. It would not be worth the success if some people just left the band because they couldn't stand each other anymore. So for me, it's just important to have fun and to meet many fans and to be able to write new songs and having people around that are waiting for me to write new songs. This is the most incredible feeling that a songwriter or a musician can have. So I'm very happy, and if it just stays that way, it's great. I do not have to headline Monsters of Rock in every country to be happy.
And just in kind of closing remark, is there anything that you want to say to the people in North America that are waiting for this new album and are eagerly waiting for you guys to come over?
We hope that there are people waiting for us to come over, but as I said before, it's not in our hands. What we can do about it is that what we are doing right now. We're promoting the album, and so we hope that everything above beyond that will follow.